Westminster Weekend, up next on Abounding Grace Radio. Join us. Pastor Chris Gordon, and on behalf of the Linden United Reformed Church, we bring you Westminster Weekend.
Thanks, Chris. Hi, this is Scott Clark for Westminster Weekend. Westminster Seminary, California is 30 years old this year, and we're celebrating our anniversary by remembering our past and looking forward to the future. Today, we begin a two-part series with the Reverend Dr. W. Robert Godfrey, president of Westminster Seminary, California.
Hello, Scott. Great to be here.
Well,
you've got a biography out that people can read, but perhaps not everybody has read the biography.
Hard to believe, but possible, I suppose.
Statistically possible for the one or two out there that haven't read it. Tell us a little bit and them about yourself, where you're from, and particularly I'm interested in how you became Reformed.
Well, I was raised in the San Francisco Bay Area in Northern California. And was raised in a Methodist family. And it was really while I was in high school that I came to know some Reformed high school kids who invited me to go to church with them. And I would say in my junior year of high school, I was converted by hearing the gospel clearly, really, for the first time. And have really been connected with Reformed churches one way or another ever since then.
So when did you begin to have a sense that you were called to ministry? How did you get from growing up in the Bay Area to seminary and to ministry?
Well, it was really by a series of small steps rather than any one moment, I think, where everything became clear. I had always been interested in history, even when I was in grammar school. I loved to read sort of popular historical kinds of works. That stayed with me into my college years, and I majored in history in college. And in that, I particularly became interested in the Reformation. That was a combination, of course, of my historical interests and my Christian convictions. And I was an undergraduate at Stanford University, and there was a great professor of Reformation history there, Louis Spitz, who was himself a devout Missouri Synod Lutheran, and would speak so passionately in class about the meaning of the Reformation that it was a real confirmation of my interests and an attraction to try to learn more about the Reformation. By the time I finished college, I was fairly sure that I wanted to go to seminary, but I was not sure what I would do after seminary. I was already beginning to think possibly about graduate work in history. So I went off to Gordon-Conwell Seminary. Actually, it was Gordon Divinity School when I entered there, and it had become Gordon-Conwell when I graduated.
They were still building the foundation? Is that that's what you're telling me? They'd moved out of the woods and put up a stone building? Is that?
This was, yes, back before the Great War, and yes, Gordon and Conwell Seminaries merged in 1969 or 1970, just at the end of my seminary career. And it was a good choice for me. I'd been born and raised and educated in California. This took me back to Massachusetts. And it was a seminary where there were both staunch Reformed teachers, such as Meredith Klein and Roger Nicol, but also teachers representing other theological traditions. So since my whole kind of Christian exposure had been in reform circles, it was good to hear other points of view. And that time really confirmed me very much in my reformed convictions.
Let's go back to your time at university. And you were at Stanford twice, right?
Well, right. After seminary, I went back. I continued to feel that I wanted to do graduate work in history, but the only place I really wanted to do it was back at Stanford. And so I was admitted and went back.
You studied with some fairly interesting folks.
It was a great time to be there. Not only was Spitz there and a wonderful person to work with, but also Wilhelm Pauk, who had studied with Harnack and was friends with Tillich and Niebuhr, and a very distinguished historian, but also a delightful person. He was teaching there as part of his second retirement. And then for one or two quarters while I was there, Heiko Obermann came and taught, and I was able to TA for him and got to know him fairly well in that time.
So you had exposure to some really significant minds in the formation of American theology, directly and indirectly, and some very significant historical writers, pioneering, really, historical writers.
Right. Spitz pioneering in exploring the relationship of the Renaissance to the Reformation, and Obermann, of course, in many ways a pioneer exploring in more detail the relationship of late medieval thought to the Reformation. So it was a great combination.
You've often described yourself as a quiet, bookish child, and you, I think you mentioned something about that in the biography. How does a quiet, bookish child end up one of the better-known Reformed writers, teachers, ministers, professors in the English-speaking world?
I have no idea.
Well, we have 30 minutes to fill here, so see, maybe you can make something up.
Well, I think as a child, I was more like my mother, who was quiet, a little bit shy, and not eager to meet new people, content to be by herself. She was an only child growing up and was used to quiet. My dad, by contrast, was a very outgoing guy. He was the kind of person at school everybody liked, and he liked everybody, and was, of course, the president of the student body and went on to politics in our hometown. So
he's mayor, right?
He was mayor of our hometown, right.
And there is a park in your hometown named after your family, is that right?
Right, Godfrey Park, because my grandfather had also been mayor and had been a reforming mayor at a time when there was a lot of corruption in the city. And
was he a goo-goo? A good government man. That's what they called the good government men in the early 20th century.
I see. Well, I guess he was, because the people he replaced in city politics went to prison. And
yes.
So he was honored for cleaning up city politics by a park being named after him. And one of my treasured possessions is a picture of the dedication of the park when I was a babe in arms, held by my father, my grandfather, and my great-grandfather were there at the dedication of Godfrey Park.
If your predecessors go to jail, that sort of sets the bar fairly low, so
that's true.
Don't have to do a lot. Not to diminish the accomplishments of your grandfather.
Who was also a good friend of Earl Warren's. And so the family was politically connected. But my dad was a very outgoing person. And over the years, I think I've become more like him.
That's interesting. It's interesting how we balance between our parents, that we reflect the different personality attributes of our parents.
In the 17th century, John Bunyan gave us the character Mr. Valiant for Truth. In the 20th century, God gave us another Mr. Valiant for Truth, J. Gresham Machen, the founder of Westminster Seminary. The spirit of Machen lives on at Westminster Seminary, California, where, for 30 years, we've been fulfilling his vision of training men for ministry and preparing them to be expert in the Bible. WSCAL.edu, 888-480-8474, Westminster Seminary, California. For Christ, his gospel, and his church.
Talk a little bit about your vocation to ministry. How did you become conscious that, yes, you know, I want to study the Reformation, and I want to be a scholar, but I want to do more than that. I want to be in the visible institutional church.
Well, as I was completing my seminary study, I really was uncertain whether to pursue pastoral ministry or graduate school. I think I was still at a stage where I was a little shy, and the idea of pastoral ministry was a little intimidating. But I decided that since Stanford was the only place I really wanted to do graduate work, that I'd apply, and if I got in, I'd go. If I didn't, then I'd pursue pastoral ministry. But I got in, and so I went off to graduate school sort of with the idea that I'd really like to teach in a seminary. And then in the years of graduate study, I thought, well, maybe I could also teach in a secular university and do some good for the Christian cause there. So was still kind of uncertain as exactly where I was headed. But near the end of my graduate studies, Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia had an opening and offered me a job. And so it was sort of by just a series of small steps that I didn't entirely plan. The Lord opened up doors along the way, and I just sort of breezed through.
What was your early church life like? What sort of influence did that have on you? How did people receive you coming into the church, and how did you perceive the church as you first entered it? Can you reflect on that?
Well, the Christian students I fell in with in high school were Dutch Reformed, Christian Reformed specifically, and I immediately responded both to the commitment to the Bible, the insight into what the Bible said in a really thoughtful way, and to the strong sense of community that existed in that church, where people really knew one another, really cared for one another, where generations were represented. When I went to the Methodist church, it seemed to me there were only very elderly people there. They were probably in their 50s, but struck me at the time that if I hung around by the next year, I might be the only one left, whereas there was a kind of vitality, both intellectually and spiritually, but also just socially, communally, in the Dutch Reformed Church that really impressed me as a high school kid.
I think that's interesting because that's not always the report one hears when people talk about how, you know, coming into the Reformed Church for the first time. The first time I took Barbara to a Reformed church, after the service, she cried. So it was partly because it was such a culture shock for her, and partly because it was so unfamiliar, but also because she perceived, given her experience in a broader evangelical world, that it was a little cold and unfriendly. So I think it's fascinating that your experience is so radically, in a sense, radically different from the caricature of initial experience in Reformed churches.
Yeah, there were lots of adults that I felt really invested themselves in me and in the young people of the church to be encouraging. And of course, I had really had no evangelical experience. It had either been mainline Methodism or this Reformed church. And so in that sense, I wasn't comparing Reformed to evangelical, which is part of the reason that I wrote my book, An Unexpected Journey, because it seems to me in American Reformed churches today, most people have either been raised in Reformed churches or they were converted in some evangelical or Pentecostal ministry and only later discovered Reformed Christianity. And in that sense, I had a somewhat unique experience. I was neither raised Reformed nor converted amongst non-Reformed people.
You've been teaching at Westminster Seminary since 1974.
Yes.
Not to put too fine a point on it,
I was only 5 years old when I started to teach there.
I've seen some of the pictures, actually. That's a plausible claim. So what is it that attracts you to Westminster Seminary, particularly Westminster Seminary, California? Now, as you think about your ministry here, your work here, what have you loved about doing this work?
Well, I taught 7 years in Philadelphia, and then when California was opened as a branch campus initially of Westminster Philadelphia, I was eager to come back to California. I had in many ways enjoyed my time in Philadelphia, but I knew that I really was a Californian, and so the opportunity to come back west was irresistible.
Thanks, Bob. We'll pick up this story and conclude it next week as we find out about Bob's journey from the East Coast to the West and what it was like to bring Reformation, theology, piety, and practice from the East Coast to what was in many ways still an untamed land, at least relative to the Reformed faith as confessed by the Reformed churches. Well, that's it for Westminster Weekend. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us again next week, same time, same station, for part two of this interview with Dr. Godfrey and another episode of Westminster Weekend. Find us on the web at wscal.edu or call us at 888-480-8474 or email us at weekend@wscal.edu. I'm Scott Clark. Thanks for listening. And now here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Westminster Weekend was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times on the Lord's Day. You can visit us on the web at lindenurc.com or you can give us a call 360-318-0429. Again, that web address is lindenurc.com. We thank you for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.